Bonjour, mon frère. I see that you have chosen to listen to the board game Point of View. You are aware, of course, that they are a member of the Dice Tower Network, no? Oh, you do know. And yet you want to continue listening very well, c'est la vie. Do not say, I did not warn you. Au revoir.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming and also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. What's going on, Steven? I saw you suppressing the yawn during the intro, and now you're holding back the laugh. What's on your mind?
I thought of how I wanted to greet everyone when it came time for you to say, I'm joined by...
Right, okay. All right, I'll do that now. You ready?
Okay. I'm going to be laughing.
All right, tonight I'm joined by Steven.
Sup, boys!
And Seth.
Ichuta Daiwanawanga.
Did he just swear at us?
Yes.
For reals?
Maybe a little bit.
Dang, son. What did we do?
You can bleep out that first part, but the second part has to stay.
Oh, okay. Well.
Has to stay. It has to.
Otherwise, no one will know I'm on this podcast.
Okay. That's the only thing he's going to say.
And that's a wrap on Seth. Well, we, as usual, have a lot to talk about. It's been a few episodes since the three of us have actually gotten to communicate with each other.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I almost got arrested.
You did.
I can't talk about
it. Listen to the previous episode if you want the details. But I think we'll start, like we always do, discussing life. What's happening in our lives?
You mean outside from the nearly getting arrested part?
Right, the part you can't talk about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Actually, a ton of things.
Well, maybe distill that ton down into a few sound bites for us.
A few sound bites?
Yeah. Not even complete thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I was like, what? And then tears.
Right?
But then... Whoop, whoop. Party time.
Sounds like you've been living the dream almost.
Oh, yeah. So, you know,
sounds just like every month, honestly.
Basically.
What happened today in your life? Let's start there.
We'll narrow down that far.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened today in my life? Well, I mean, here in Billings, we had the first snowfall of the year.
I suppose
that's noteworthy. It doesn't really involve me personally.
Here in Bozeman, too.
Nice.
Heyo. Montana in general.
Yeah.
Calling it.
Right.
Every single town in Montana got snow today.
And then it stops right at the border.
Yeah. Just right here.
Right. You go to Google Earth right now and it's just white.
But the only real exciting thing that happened to me is that hopped on the old PS4, saw that they had a sweet deal going on for the combo pack of Heavy Rain and Beyond, Two Souls. Didn't do any research on them at all, but I just remember hearing a lot of hype back in the day when they were first released, and I started the Beyond Two Souls this afternoon, and it's pretty crazy, to say the least. So that should keep me occupied for a couple of days at least.
Nice. Yep. Seth, I hear you've been playing even more games with your game group there in Bozeman. What are some of the new hot games that we haven't gotten a chance to play as of yet?
Funny you ask, because I have been playing more Dimension, which we have played.
Nice.
great game. Can't recommend it enough, honestly.
Just Dimension?
I guess I played Catan once.
Okay.
Oh, wait. And yes, I also did play Happy Pigs, which we've been fervently talking about in secret.
We have been, because I really want to play this game.
The funny thing is, it's pretty much even been in secret, as in just you and Seth have been talking about it. Like, I was even out of the loop on this.
That's true.
I think you guys just know that I won't be a fan. So
right.
You and your little pig farming buddy can just so keep happy. Talking about it.
So happy.
Wow, so much anger about pig farming. My father was a pig farmer, I'll have you know.
That's true.
I know. Yeah.
And I respect that man.
Well, that's good.
Would your father enjoy this
game? So you
best
show some respect to the happy pig farmers.
Oh, my.
All I'll say about that, I mean, it's a fun game, but I definitely treated it like I treat every other game, a.k.a. first turn I made horrible mistakes.
Right.
Lost all my pigs, died.
Oh,
come
my gosh.
The fall, even the babies.
Oh,
and
no.
Nothing. And it was actually pretty devastating.
Wow.
You know, if you go into a game with this cocky attitude that you can do whatever you want, it's just like real life. Sometimes you get humbled and you got to start from nothing and really build your way back up to the top.
Wow.
So life lessons were learned that day.
That got super deep.
That's crazy inspirational.
It is. It is.
You've been like exactly. off the charts lately, though. If any of you follow Seth on Twitter, which yeah. I doubt it because he has, what, 20 followers? he was posting inspirational quotes all week, like
really?
once a day. Yeah.
Wow.
A couple of them, which may be from YouTube videos.
Oh, I'm sure all of them were stolen. But yes.
Well, of course. No, yeah. I'm not a professional quote maker by any means.
you want to lay a quote on us right now, a Seth original?
See, I got to be like flowing before I can actually get a quote. I can't just pull one out of it thin air. Also, I have to work on my old wise Japanese man accent.
Dude, I heard a rumor that you got your French accent down, though.
Oh, I've actually been listening to... I even have it open in a tab right now, like learning French videos. I've just been having it like drone in the background of this like French guy going over French words.
Right.
But just kind of picking up the accent.
Nice, nice. Now this is for a future project that is yet to be named, but is in the works. So,
oh, it's named.
And we have a name for it.
That's right.
Yeah. Obviously, it's codenamed Kyber Crystal.
But for our listeners, we'll just keep them in the dark.
Yes.
I also played Dead Last.
Oh, nice. Newer.
It's not really like hidden roles, but it's kind of hidden communication.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of that game is you're all just kind of like gangsters, I guess, and you're all trying to sow dissent within by... deciding on someone to kill without letting that person know. So you have a short amount of time to kind of do these nonverbal communications or verbal communications without letting the other person know that they're the target. And then you do that enough until all but two people are dead.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
My only comment is that this entire like game here, the premise and the theme and all of it basically just sounds like your day-to-day life, Seth. So... I would imagine that you were really, really good at
it. That is true. Oh, I was, actually. I kind of dominated the first couple rounds, so I had to back off so the other people wouldn't immediately give up. And
just give like some
yeah,
super,
didn't end up winning.
Just give a super obvious like cue to everyone and then be like, "Aw, did I do? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no."
No, yeah, like the first round, like we all agreed on someone to kill, and then the next turn, it was time to flip the cards over. Everyone had selected me as the target. But predicting that, I had played my ambush card and therefore beat them all. And it was very satisfying for those couple times. And then I, of course, the next round proceeded to get to the last two people and rob the other person blind when they wanted to just trade or share the loot. So
wow,
it was very, very rewarding. I think it would be even more fun the more you play it, and then you can start just doing different things. Like near the end of our plays, we kind of started just talking out loud and like doing different things mm-hmm. to try and distract people. It was awesome.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I like about party games is that once you play them enough, there's a meta game that happens on top. Pretty satisfying with kind of the same familiar group of people.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I had heard good things about Dead Last, and I'm happy to confirm that it is a really fun game. And I think it's a game you can just pull out kind of with any group. There is player elimination, but the rounds turn over so quickly that it doesn't matter. And plus the eliminated players can kind of have their own fun trying to mess up the people who are playing, who are still in. So
Steven and I, we set aside a day this last week to play games, which we haven't done in probably more than a year, just setting aside a day to play games, and we played handful.
That's we right. definitely did do that before. What? I remember specifically this, another day.
Was it the Apotheca day? Yeah. We played almost all
Of them. Yeah. We did play Apotheca like four times.
It was Apotheca, and then...
And then did we play Scythe that day or
no,
the next
that was
day?
A different day, I think.
Yeah, it might have been the next day. It all happened.
Well, there was in
either way. There was one weekend where we did a lot of gaming, but that was months ago. So
it was, yeah.
So it was within the year. Okay,
it was. Yeah. Right. Let's just say
don't
it's been a while.
About me so soon,
right? it's been a while.
Who were we playing those games with? Was it Mr. Wall? I think he came back for it. Yeah.
I don't know, but I remember you guys telling me that the guy you were playing against was really good at Apotheca. You know, he's used the wizarding winds to secure those wizarding wins. Am I right?
No.
Anyway, Steven and I played a bunch of games this weekend.
We did indeed.
Which was good. We hadn't done it in a while.
It was especially good in light of all the craziness in my life recently, which I haven't even actually talked about. I just talked about Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. But...
Right.
You haven't even talked about that with me.
I'll call you later.
Okay, good. I mean, you could, right now is a good time, but...
Well, we're kind of in the middle of something right now.
All right, okay. Welcome to another session of... Dr. Feels.
Yep.
Where we talk about all those things that feel win.
You seriously said that?
I did say that.
What were we even talking about?
Our game day.
That's right.
One last side note.
Okay.
This is
one last
semi-related.
Okay.
Alex Eating followed me on Twitter. I don't know if I mentioned this previously. I can't remember.
Okay.
But I definitely... made a post after that happened with a SpongeBob meme and a TFW when Alex Eating follows you on Twitter or something.
Oh yeah.
And I just got like a really, really like salty response. Like he does not appreciate memes or SpongeBob.
Okay.
Or the new hip lingo at all, so.
Well,
just throwing that out there.
He's my age, so he seems a little bit more into like pop culture than I am, but I don't know. I don't understand most of that. You kids these days.
We'll have to catch you up on that.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Bionicle memes are up and skeleton memes are down in this month.
Yeah.
Bionicle? Just, like the Legos?
Yes.
Adam, just stop being a jive turkey. And get with the times.
Let's talk about some board games.
Game day. Right. Game day.
So we kicked it off.
Not
with...
football, by the way.
No.
Nobody here watches football.
We kicked it off with a game that my kids got me.
You can't just say kick off when we just said we're not talking about football.
We started with a game that I got for my birthday from my kids. And this is one that I had been wanting to play, but it didn't have an American release until recently. And this is Magical Labyrinth. So, in this game, you each play a child looking for different objects within a labyrinth, but some of the walls are invisible. So as you move through the labyrinth, you will bump into walls, and you kind of have to memorize your way through this invisible labyrinth. And it's a pretty ingenious game because the walls are set up underneath the board, and you have a magnet that sticks to your piece, which is also underneath the board. So as you move across the top of the board, your marble that's sticking to your piece will actually bump into these walls and fall off, indicating that you've hit a wall. And this is probably my favorite kids game that I've played thus far.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It was...
That sounds amazing.
It was so, like, intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not at all... I made a comment to Adam because I looked at the date and it was actually first published in 2009.
Right.
And I was amazed that anyone in 2009 was so creative. But but this game, like it's technically a kid's game, but it's definitely one of those ones that just playing with groups, like a four person group would just be fun really with anyone. Like,
yeah, it was good. Then we followed that up with X-Wing, right?
Yeah, for the first time in like
it's been a while,
year.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Seth, do you have a rebuttal for that one?
Actually, no, I don't think you guys have played X-Wing, at least not with me or that I've seen.
It's been a while.
And we played two rounds.
Yes.
Head to head.
Yep.
I won both.
Yes. We had some intense narrative, though, as the battle ensued.
Especially during the first fight.
Right.
I had like a whole story for my character, my pilot.
Yeah.
It was kind of awesome.
That was a fun match.
Yeah.
You landed on an asteroid. I had air quotes there. Landed on the asteroid.
Yep.
You had your music blaring in your cockpit.
Yep.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
Yep. You just like shredded me to bits, but then in two turns I just killed you like that.
That's how both games ended, actually.
Yep.
And the second game actually ended in me being completely destroyed in just one fell swoop of the dice.
And it's only because you were trash talking, though.
It's true. It's true. It's like,
what is it, Murphy's Law or some crap?
Yeah, something
you
like
had
that.
To know that, like, by saying the words, you will never hit me,
right?
That automatically that turn, I would roll four hits against four misses.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Steven was updating me with those, and I don't know what you were thinking, Adam. Those are some pretty bad maneuvers.
I just fly by the seat of my pants. You know this.
It has always been his style.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I got to ask, though.
Yeah.
It was, you dropped your Connor net.
Yeah. Right in front of
when
Steven.
When you didn't know where he was going to be, and he had time to avoid it instead of trying to drop it like right in front of his base or something.
See, he was flying the Hound's Tooth.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what the maneuvers on that ship were, and I thought it was a heavier ship like the K-Wing I was flying, so I didn't figure he could do kind of drastic
one bank
turns. Yeah. Or even stop.
Okay.
He just went into a dead stop.
No, it's really the only turn that I thought I actually legitimately outplayed you, because for the most part, it was just us kind of shooting and being random.
Right.
But I just knew you were setting up for the Connor net that was like not directly in front of me, but it was close enough to be a threat, you know? And so I was like, dude, all stop. I'm not going anywhere because he's definitely laying the Connor net down.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked like a charm.
Yeah,
and you had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't. He flips his dial over and it's just like zero. I'm like, what? So of course he just does a sharp turn out of the path of my net. Didn't even get to see what it did.
It's pretty awesome, I'll tell you that.
It looked beautiful up there in
it
space.
It did. Yeah.
It did.
And then the funny thing is, this is technically like against the rules, because the Nashta Pup Headhunter, you're only supposed to launch out of the Houndstooth after the Houndstooth is destroyed.
Right.
But just because my big old Houndstooth versus his A-Wing was just not working out, he said, launch your Headhunter and let's finish this. It was super intense. And so I just put the Headhunter on the board like, okay.
Right.
And
one of your co-pilots jump into the cockpit.
Yeah, I just took away one of my upgraded like co-pilot cards and said that he was the one in the ship. So I just took my upgrade away from the Houndstooth. And then I launched the Headhunter. And I was like, okay, let's dogfight. And then we had like this one awkward turn where we both totally missed each other.
Yep.
And then I just wrapped the Houndstooth around and just one-shotted you.
One-shot.
Yeah.
Done.
So really, the Headhunter just was a distraction for you.
Yeah.
After your whole, let's finish this.
It was, yeah.
I mean, I did finish suppose.
You
but
did. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see that coming.
It was bounty hunter scum.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course, they would challenge you to a duel and then just swoop in.
I didn't challenge anyone. He was the one who was like,
it's like, he's never going to hit me.
Plus, he didn't say duel. He said, launch your Headhunter, which I did.
Yeah.
Bounty hunters are always getting such a bad rap.
They're the worst. Dude, I've also been playing a lot of X-Wing recently.
Nice. That's right. Your roommate's into it pretty heavy now.
Yeah, my roommate's into it. So I've been playing a lot of X-Wing, getting pretty intense in the new releases that have come out. Protectorate Starfighters are pretty much my favorite ship ever. I like the little nimble knife fighters that can dodge around and take shots without the other person shooting them back. But then, similar to those but different, the Protectorate fighter wants to get an arc so that the other person is shooting at them at range one. So they just fly right into the enemy's face and then just blast them to pieces. So it's pretty much the best thing ever.
Nice. Have you played in any tournaments lately?
I have played in a tournament. I played in a tournament a couple weeks ago. Nice. My roommate and I entered and we took first and second. So,
wow.
You know, pretty much no big deal, but it was a fun day. Saw some crazy stuff. This was right after Wave 9 had released, so there were all the new ships, and it was a tough fight, but it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Sounds like
a good
day. I
look forward to the day. Yeah, no, it was a fun day. I look forward to when we can all get back together, play some more X-Wing, then conquer the Billings scene as well.
Nice.
I don't think I look forward to that day at all, but...
Dude, come on.
That Adam and I just fly in circles the whole time. Right. And then Seth, you're literally a tournament champion now.
No. No, that's what I'm saying. We get together, train up, then right. All three of us sweep the tournaments.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well,
with
maybe.
All my new advanced maneuvers, because I'm literally doing research all day.
I don't think I can fly any other way. I need to fly the way my heart tells me to. That's by the seat of my pants. I just have to.
Well, you can at least train your pants a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's time to train out those old pants and put on your pilot pants. That orange jumpsuit, Adam.
Yeah.
The orange onesie. I'm ready for it. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, at least wear the right pants. If you're going to fly by the seat of your pants, you gotta at least wear the proper pants, man. Come on. Okay.
Also acceptable for the whole seat thing is if you wear
flares,
like the onesies. Well, yes, but also with the bum flap.
Oh, of course.
That way there's like a literal seat that you can attach and detach.
Nice.
Yep. You know.
No, I know.
Adam has a bumper sticker that says, "The seat of my pants is my co-pilot."
Yes. That's right. It's perfect.
I mean, on his first flight, the ship got destroyed, but other than that...
That was pretty bad.
He used Vistaprint, though, and got a sweet deal on like a ton of them, so... Oh. Anyways...
So X-Wing happened.
X-Wing, yeah.
That's right.
And that segment just happened, too, for a long while.
It did.
Yep.
We then followed that up with a game themed around samurai... that I think we're going to wait on, actually, to talk about. Because this is up to a 7-player game, and it was just Steven and I playing. And I think we're going to play it with a few more people before
Preferably
we talk.
Preferably the full 7.
Yeah, that would be epic.
We don't even have 7 friends, though, so right. It's going to be really...
But first impressions, good. This is a good game.
Yes.
We just want to play it with a full complement before we talk about it.
I thoroughly enjoyed myself in this game.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then we ended the evening.
Whoa, hold on.
Yes.
I have a quote.
This just in.
A quote.
Here comes a quote
a
from
quote.
Seth.
The original Seth quote.
Yep.
Complete with Japanese accent.
Okay, here we go.
When you will show honor to your opponent, you will always gain a victory.
Nice.
What?
Just meditate on that.
Okay.
It was good. It was good.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Not Seth's word because I can't understand him.
Wow. You can't understand Japanese people.
That was a good accent, though.
That was actually pretty good.
That was really nice.
Did it actually? I don't know. I can't.
Those YouTube videos are paying off big time.
I haven't even watched it.
It didn't
any.
Sound very French, but I mean, you know, just keep working on it, and I suppose...
Dang it!
One day, you know, that French accent will finally just come to fruition, but...
But we finished the night with a 2-player game of...
Scythe!
Indeed, we did.
Finally got to play that gem again.
We did.
It was even more relaxing than the first game.
It was.
It's such a chill game.
It is pretty chill. It's a Euro game.
Yes.
For sure.
And like right in the middle of Scythe, both times I had a moment of going, this is right on the verge of almost being boring.
Right.
And yet I'm loving every minute of it.
Wow.
Well, with most Euro games, it takes probably about half the game to get your engine going. But once you get it going, that's where the fun happens, I think.
I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, Scythe happened, and it was a lot of fun.
Right. We played the two factions we hadn't played before, which was fun as well. I think I found my new favorite faction.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Nords.
The Nords.
The Nords.
Yes.
Of course.
Primarily, though, because they're little meeples. You know how we discussed before that every meeple in this game for each of the factions has a different, like, hat
they
on
do,
the meeple,
yeah.
Like a different carved
they
hat.
They wear a different hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the Nords have this little, like...
It's like an elf hat.
It's a little pointy hat.
Right.
Looks like an elf.
Oh, okay.
And Adam was just over the moon about this.
It was so awesome. And kind of cute.
But... Unfortunately, even their elven powers, their
That's
elvish
right.
powers, were
yeah.
not enough. So I did win. I obtained victory for
That's
the
right.
second time.
That's right.
Scythe.
Yeah.
Got to sign the old book again with
right.
the signature.
I got to sign the book
you
again,
did.
Too.
He has both of his signatures are in the first player to have all six stars and not win
right?
category. He's done it twice
wow.
now.
Man, I know how to finish
oh,
a game.
Man.
I just don't know
yeah.
how to win a game.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I was one star away for about five turns at least,
mm-hmm.
and that star was like super easily obtainable.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't do it because I was...
Well, you were boosting your popularity
yeah.
for those points. Yeah.
And I was boosting my popularity, and I was... Just like mining crap.
Right.
I was just producing stuff because
yeah.
I knew that you got points for that as well.
Yeah.
And in the end, I very narrowly defeated him, but I did defeat him. It
right.
was 85 to 83.
Right.
2-point difference there.
Not a single combat in the game.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you
Garbage.
Know what? No. See, the thing is I'm not really that enthused about the combat system in this game. I am more interested in the resource management and exploration.
I am intrigued by the combat, but I knew that he was not. And so I would just randomly run my mechs up to him as like an intimidation game.
Right.
And then I just wouldn't do anything because I'm knowing like
he
just will
Which
give up.
Which was also kind of funny because you'd run up and I would just like suck all of my
yes.
little elves back together.
He would literally have every worker, his character, and all of his resources on the same tile.
Right.
So like really, if I attacked him, it was like the mother load of scores. But it was so just hilarious that I just had to, I let him be. I'm too merciful, I guess. But
the Nords, they're very, very timid people.
They are.
Yeah.
This goes against everything I've ever learned. Here's a question, though.
Okay.
If you're not going to fight... What's the benefit of Scythe over another Euro game?
Well, there's the opportunity to fight, I think.
Before you just don't
answer.
Even have the option,
right.
you know?
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
you could make it up in another game, but...
Well, personally, I just think it's even just the actual quality of the game itself when it comes to components, art, all of those things we've talked about before.
Right.
It's just a nice game. Even if there wasn't combat in it,
mm-hmm.
I just... enjoy every other detail of the game as well.
Right. It's
and
a,
then
it's really tight.
Yeah. And then the combat just kind of looming over, even if it never happens,
mm-hmm.
it does have like this odd tension. Like a couple of times, like we almost fought over the factory, and for a couple of turns it was like, and then nothing happened. But it could have happened.
It could
and
have.
Then there you go.
There's the option. Yeah. No, I like the player boards and the pseudo worker placement in this game is really clever. I mean, you upgrade something and you're moving pieces that are already part of your player board around to other portions of it, exposing new things that you will gain when you take your actions. So I think it's just a really tight Euro game and the theme and the artwork. Yeah, I'm gonna want to play this over another game that doesn't look as appealing, though it may kind of have the same flavor.
Right. I think that was awesome. Well put, Adam. Yeah. Well spoken.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. So then I guess the final thing to say about Scythe.
Yeah.
Invaders from afar?
Yes.
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 Hype. Let us
we start. Called it. Yes.
That's right.
We called it.
We did.
So called it. I don't know if anybody actually, you know, even remembers this, but mm-hmm. when we first talked about Scythe, there was an encounter card.
Right.
That, spoiler alert again, even though we've already talked about it, right. but spoiler alert, had a random samurai woman with a monkey
yeah.
on the card in the artwork. Mm-hmm. And we knew instantly, like, that is a tease for whatever the expansion is.
Right.
Because all of the characters are, like, some super awesome character mm-hmm. that does, like, one certain thing, like a samurai, you know, sword fighting. Mm-hmm. And then there's a sniper and yada yada. And then they all have an animal companion. So the fact that this monkey is just hanging out is not a mere coincidence.
Right.
And sure enough, details of the expansion came out. And she is one of the That's new right. characters.
There she is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Super hype.
Plus... Yeah. A dude with a boar.
Just why not?
Because there weren't enough Gauls.
He even, their little spot on the board is even right next to the Nords. So just all the savages right there.
Savages.
Oh, whoa.
What?
Oh!
All
right.
Oh!
Dude, don't go Augustus Caesar on me. Come on.
I was leaning more towards, like, Nero myself, but...
Well... I don't know. How much campaigning did Nero really do?
He destroyed a lot of stuff. I mean, you know.
I mean, but it was his own stuff.
That's beside the point, Seth.
Well, nice. Speaking of Euro games, and I guess Europe in general, Essen is happening right now.
What?
Yeah, and we're not there.
Are we not there? I thought we were. No.
I'm definitely, yeah, on the Rhine in Germany right now.
Is that where you are? Okay. Okay.
You're recording this on the Rhine.
Wow.
Yeah, no, literally, like, I'm on a boat. I'm not, like, at a hotel on the river. No, yeah.
Okay.
I'm floating.
Wow. You playing Pokemon Go? What kind of Pokemon are on the Rhine?
That's right.
A lot of Rhyhorns, I'll tell you that.
So, yeah, Essen is happening. This is the largest board game convention on the planet, I think. Though I think Gen Con is giving it a run for its money these days.
Dude, and Origins,
and
right?
Origins, right. But this is a board
After
game.
After we showed up, it got pretty big.
That's right.
I heard. Yeah, yeah.
But I think Essen is the largest board game convention on the planet. And there are well over 1,000 games, I'm sure, being released there this year. And one that caught my eye that I'm just going to talk about briefly and then we can move on is Cottage Garden. This is a new Uwe Rosenberg game about maintaining a garden.
It's got you written all over it.
It so does. I mean, does this not interest you at all? Like,
that was a pretty thrilling, you know, description, but...
Yeah.
Truly a riveting tale.
Is
cottage cheese involved?
No.
Do you live in a cottage?
I think so.
Okay. I was just... All right. All my mind hung up on was just trying to have the connection with cottage there. Okay. So
you've got a few garden plots, and you are cultivating different flowers and plants in your garden, as are the other people at the table. And as you could imagine with a game that's about flowers, the tiles and the artwork and everything just looks really nice when it's all laying out there. And this is Uwe Rosenberg of Caverna, you know, fame. So this is a heavy hitter in the game design world. This game's going to be good. Mark my words.
Okay.
Mark my words, fellas.
All right. You heard it here first. If the game is bad, blame Adam.
That's right. Yes. Gardening.
Because Seth and I are not throwing in our two cents.
Okay.
We are not.
No, I plead the fifth.
We are not confirming or denying, what you are saying right now.
Well, I'm excited about this just because it's different. And I like gardening. And I like games that have a different theme. Because what I love about board games is you can make them about anything and they can still be enjoyable. I don't know that you could get away with something like this in a video game, necessarily.
There was Farming Simulator.
Farm Simulator?
Yeah.
I played There's Sim like Farm back in the day.
Simulator. There's simulators for everything now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Those are on the more normal side of video games, too.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Well, this is going to be a breakout hit. I can tell you that.
Oh, still on it. Okay.
Dude, it's just even getting more passionate,
You're going to see this winning Spiel Awards next year.
Dude, best game of 2016.
Dude, Seth, you're not in the room right now, but he's like beat red right now. Just
I can
So hyped can up imagine. About the game. Flowers. Gardening.
Oh, my gosh.
So a game I think we all can get hyped up about, though, is Seafall.
Yes.
It arrived at my doorstep last week. It did. Week. Yeah.
It made landfall.
It did indeed. And we unboxed that thing.
Yes. I almost died.
From the sheer weight of the box.
That.
Yeah.
I'm not a strong man. But also, I'm just going to sum this up with one word, and I haven't even played it. That's
This is spoiler free. We haven't played this.
We have not played it, so that is the hype is still there from that regard. But just from looking at the game, I'm going to sum it up right here. Ready? Are you ready?
All right, let's hear it.
Magnificent.
I think that's a good description.
What about it is magnificent? I don't know. The whole thing, everything.
The whole thing.
No, I'm saying I'm just referring to the actual like physical box itself was just magnificent.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, yeah.
The components and stuff inside. Yeah. Right, yeah. I mean, I don't know about that, but
the unboxing, as in we got it out of the cardboard shipping box.
Yes.
Right.
Out of like the UPS box, yeah.
Exactly. Wait, stay tuned for unboxing round two.
Right.
But legitimately though, we did open the box. And it's actually funny, but the layout of everything in the box is literally tight. Like,
it is.
It's perfect. Yeah. There's a science to how they assembled this box.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of, it makes me teary-eyed, honestly. Right.
And inside of the shipping box was a second box that we unboxed containing...
Filled with treasure.
You're not wrong.
I hear the treasure. Oh, nice. My gosh.
Yes.
The doubloons.
We got the metal coins.
And they are something else.
In a good way.
Truly. They are beautiful.
Spoiler-free rundown, just through looking at the rule book. This is a legacy game. This is the first legacy game that is a true Euro. I believe the majority of the game is going to be about resource collection, management, and exploration.
AKA pirates.
Well, there's a small teaser in the rule book concerning kind of boarding other players' ships. But until we get to that point, we just don't know. We just don't know. But this is a 3 to 5 player game. I think each player gets little ships in their prescribed color. They get a big one and a little one. Each of them has starting stats that will, of course, later change as you move through the game. Everybody is assigned a character, and there are 10 of them in the box. And the characters are fun because they look like old oil paintings that you'd see like hanging over a fireplace or something.
Yeah, they're done portrait style.
Yeah.
And they're really, really nice. The characters have like their own little flair, and it's pretty cool.
Right. The board itself is very nice. Everybody gets their own little port that they will start in and kind of branch out their empire from there. I don't know that we're going to talk a lot about the mechanics before we've had a chance to kind of deploy them. But there are, again, like with all legacy games, there are 6 boxes in here with just unknown content that will be released into the world as we play through the 12 to 15 games of this. Yep. So I'm pretty excited.
And another cool thing about legacy games like this is that your character, your colony or port, and both of your ships and all of the things that you control, pretty much, you get to name yourself, like with a pin write it like on the cards and stuff. It's permanent, so no pressure, but that all those little details is what's just so cool about these new legacy style games to me.
Right. Yeah, you were joking that this should come with a quill and some ink.
Yes.
So that you could scribe.
It definitely should. Yeah. But that's, you know, hindsight's 2020 Rob.
Right.
Wow. Wow. I know what name I'm writing on the Savage card. Matt Leacock.
Right? God, what's with that guy?
But
there's a captain's log.
There
by
is.
The way.
There's a narrative portion to this game.
I almost peed a little.
So
as you
explore the universe, as you explore this world, you will encounter different people on the islands that you'll be exploring. And so there's a captain's log that you read from whenever you explore a new area. And it tells you a little bit about what's happening in that area. And I think that kind of adds the additional flavor to what is going to be a very traditional Euro game. So we'll see. We'll see if we have the
Pirate
patience.
Empires.
That's right.
One of the coolest things about the captain's log, though, is that if I'm not mistaken, each encounter has a quote,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a journal entry from an actual ship captain. Yes,
right.
Like a historical entry that was real. Mm. Some guy wrote, and it's been.
I don't know about that, but we could say yes.
It's
that is
definitely
the
fact.
That is a fact.
100% fact.
Because yeah. Rob Davio is a certified historian.
That's right.
So
his grandfather was a ship captain.
Yes.
I'm sure of it.
That's true.
Also fact. And
yep.
I think he actually grew up in a lighthouse.
He did.
Yep.
Yes, with Matt Leacock.
That's right. They were neighbors. He grew up.
My neighbors. It was like 17 leagues to the next cottage, but
yeah,
the next lighthouse.
That's as close as you got back then, though.
That's right.
So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Matt Leacock's grandfather was a doctor.
What? I thought Matt Leacock's grandfather was Edward Teach. Blackbeard. That's Blackbeard.
No, Matt Leacock's grandfather was a doctor.
Well, okay, I was wrong. Sorry.
Unless Blackbeard was a doctor. He was just misunderstood all those years. No.
So yeah, we are looking forward to playing this game for sure.
We're definitely all going to dress up as pirates when we play this game, right?
I think
we're not even pirates, Seth. If you
we are.
If you want to be a pirate, you can just feel free. But
I think every sailor is at least half pirate.
In their hearts, yes.
That's another one of my platitudes.
Nice.
I don't know. I feel like there should be something else to that, but I couldn't really think of anything.
All right,
so.
Well, you keep working on that.
Okay.
You were going to say something, though.
Right. So, Steven and I are going to show up in, like, full regalia, like, naval regalia, and then we'll have Seth on the other side in, like, pirate garb.
Shirtless with tattoos and, like, a bandana on his head.
And a live parrot.
And pantaloons.
And obviously pantaloons.
A live parrot.
A live parrot that you will just... teach to swear in some Star Wars language that we can't understand, apparently.
Perfect.
Actually, picturing a parrot speak Huddies now is like one of the greatest things.
I think the last thing we'll mention is that you'll be able to hire advisors over the course of the game, and you'll get to name those characters as well. I think you just get to name everything. In this game, the boats, the islands, your ports, the players. So start brainstorming, boys. I guess Seth
I have so many pirate names.
I know, I was going to say, you've got a list of pirate names ready to go.
So we just walk in, Seth, what's your captain's name? Barbossa.
Right.
Nah, dude, my captain would definitely be Gibbs.
Nice. I think I got to go Mario theme on all of my stuff.
Oh, good lord.
Oh,
what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's right.
At least
have
a theme that fits
sense.
With the original theme.
Yeah. What?
Yeah,
of,
what?
Of Seafall?
Plus, none of them even have two names.
That's
true.
Yeah,
they do. Mario has a last name.
What is his last name?
What is
Mario?
It?
Oh my god.
All right, we walked right into that one.
That is canon, fellas.
Mario, Mario.
Yep.
Mario, Mario. Of course, that's why it's the Mario Brothers, because it's Mario, Mario, and Luigi, Mario.
That's exactly right.
Oh my gosh. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. So,
all right, well, I'll work on the themes for my naming. Seafall, super hyped, super excited to play. I think Steven and I are just going to drive to Bozeman and
kidnap you.
That's right.
Seth.
We're going to kidnap you. We're going to play like 5 games of this, and we're gonna love it.
Yeah, do it. I mean,
we'll make sure you get your homework done and everything, and then we'll kidnap you.
We'll help you with your homework, and only about 65% will be wrong at that point. But
here's the thing: even I can't make sure I get my homework done, so no worries.
Okay. So the last game we have to talk about tonight is our game of the podcast. This is a Spiel winner, but before we talk about that, Alex Eady.
Ah, yes, you want to know about the book? Indeed, my family has long been a fixture of that most noble tome. For 6 generations, it has chronicled the exploits of our ancestry, accomplished men and women, a lot of them. My Uncle Lewis, for example, a large and imposing man he was, why, when he entered a room, you knew straight away, if not for nothing more than the rattle of the floorboards, perfectly suited, of course, to wander beyond the walls of the village in pursuit of wealth, women, and war. But he chose to stay here, he did. Took up a life of political misery. Rose quickly to power, mind you, but at the cost of his health. You'll find his name scrolled here and there among the margins of our history. My great-grandmother was said to have crafted such fine quilts that the king himself requested one made for the royal bedchamber. If you walk the marketplace even now, you'll hear her name muttered with respect. She was among some of the first people to adorn the pages of that book, she was. My own brother is a respectable man himself, bound for the book in the end. Dedicated his life to the church at a young age. I too had the opportunity to join the clergy, but I figured God and I would never really see eye to eye. Of course, I never really tried. Ah, no bother. Everyone ends up at the church one way or another. Like all the others, my tired bones will be laid to rest there in the cemetery, in an unmarked grave, no doubt. The world cares not for a cart maker, I'm afraid. Like the animals, it's a life of thankless toil for me. No, you'll not be seeing my name in that book, but such is life here in the village.
So our game of the podcast is Village, published by Tasty Minstrel, and now I believe Stronghold Games has the license. But the version we have is Tasty Minstrel, which is just a cool name.
Those minstrels just so tasty.
I know. They make good games, too.
They do.
So the Village, as you would imagine, is about a group of people who live in a village. And you are playing a particular family in this village over the course of about 4 generations. This is a Euro game. It's a semi-worker placement game. I guess it's more displacement.
That is true. Yeah.
Yes. As you'd imagine, in a village, you have things in the village like a church. You've got a marketplace. You also have a council building where the political minds of that age gathered to talk about expanding their horizons and whatnot.
And they also possibly churned butter.
I think they did. Yeah. There was a lot of that happening in our game.
There was
right.
copious amounts of butter churning.
Is that one of the euphemisms?
Yes. I'll let you decide.
No, I'm saying it. Okay. Solid yes.
It's going to be a little more cryptic with that, but And
come on, you jive turkey. We all know what butter churning means, okay? Ice cream.
Ice cream, that's right. Mad amounts of ice cream.
Yeah.
You can also wander beyond the walls of the village and explore the country.
You might die, though.
You definitely will Ooh. Die. And about half of your family will perish over the course of the game, which I think is the most fun mechanic in the
game. It's definitely the most unique mechanic, yeah. When I first heard that you have four generations of meeples.
Right.
And, like, you just spawn them. You butter churn. And
right.
you churn. To... Anyways, so you have your meeples, and each one has a sticker on it. Yes, it is a sticker.
It is.
I was outraged by this. I was like, come on, awful. You can't just print the number on the meeple. Come on.
You but, were, I had to put the stickers on each one of those, so...
And I thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or else the entire game would not work. No, it would not. So,
yeah, your family's numbered 1, 2, and 3,
and 4.
And 4, that's right. You have
3 and 4. And, yeah, as the game progresses, like, the seasons change and the whole thing, and slowly but surely, your first generation starts dying.
Right.
And then your second generation, right. And so on and so forth.
So if you have somebody beyond the walls exploring... earning you points that is of that first generation, they are eventually going to die off.
In the wild. Away from their family.
Right. Buried somewhere gosh. In the
wild.
Family
will never know what they did either.
Well, I'm sure they wrote letters and things and sent them back. Carrier pigeons, I don't know. But mechanically, they die off. So you now don't have anybody exploring beyond the walls of the city. Similarly, you may have somebody making carts for you. That you
then a tragic accident.
That's right. A tragic cart accident. Maybe one of them has come down off the hydraulic lift and has crushed you.
Or there's like a high-speed cart chase.
Yes, yes. but you have to kill off the members of your family as time passes according to their generation. So you could have people kind of work their way up the ranks in various parts of the village only to die off at a later date. Now, Steven, you and I played this with Tara.
Yes.
And we each kind of went in a different direction.
Yes.
In terms of what we wanted to focus on in this village.
We did.
I was intrigued by your strategy. You sent your very first family member to join the clergy.
Yes.
And the mechanic there is that they go into a black bag with a handful of black meeples. And to be selected to be part of the clergy, you reach your hand into this black bag at the end of a round, and you pull out 3 meeples. If yours is among them, then you get to join the church. If you're not, then you just live in that black bag until you get pulled out. You sent half of your family into this black bag.
I think more than that.
Wait, yeah. What?
So, no, here's my... So this is what I did. This is what I did.
Uh-huh.
I put almost... every single person I had over 3 generations at least of meeples into the church.
Right.
I was holy as balls.
Well, potentially, right?
Yes. Well, no, I had my first generation meeple work all the way up to be like the head of the church.
Right.
Dang.
Yeah.
And then I had one that was the Dord reader.
Right.
I had 2 that were like on the second most tier, you know?
Right, they would collect the alms.
Yeah, and then I had one that was, like, right behind the headminister, so he was, like, associate pastor.
He was primed to take over when that first generation
died.
Yeah,
and he was even in a different generation, so, like, makes sense.
No,
the church was just, like, my playground.
It was.
That
it
was, like, where I focused everything.
Right.
And the funny thing is, first turn, you know, I put my meeple in the bag, and I remember that Tara, I think it was Tara, maybe it was you, were like kind of talking some smack about how, you know, why would you waste your first meeple like that? Because the odds of him actually being pulled out.
Right.
And I responded with, I have faith.
Right.
Boom. Immediately just like role playing.
Right. Yeah. So we end the game. We're going to jump to the end of the game.
Yes.
At this point. We'll come back to the middle of the game. But end of the game, Steven's packing up his generations and he's down 1 meeple and we can't find it. And I go to the black bag and the guy he put in there on the very first turn was still in that black bag and lived in there the entire game, that poor fellow.
Yes. Yes.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So
there's a whole plot twist with the church, by the way, but we'll get to that later.
Right. The other fun mechanic is that as your meeples die off, you get to write them into the book. And this book kind of chronicles the exploits of the townsfolk. However, there's only enough room in this book for a certain number of meeples. And at the end of the game, of course, mechanically, you're going to score more points for the more you have there. And there are only a number of slots for each particular section of the village. So if you are working your way up the political ladder, you of course want to gain the benefits of working up that ladder, but you also want to die soon enough to make sure that your exploits are chronicled in the book.
Because if the book is full and your meeple dies, you literally get buried in an unmarked grave.
Right, behind the church, which I'm sure you had a family member on staff to do. No.
Oh, on staff?
On staff, yes. Yeah.
I had none in the unmarked grave. So I spent almost the entire game. It seriously wasn't until like the last 4 or 5 rounds, maybe, that I even had a single meeple actually die.
Right.
I was the only one. I had all 4 generations roaming about at once while you and Tara were on like your first like 2 generations were already gone. And I still had all of my people just like killing it.
A life of piety.
Yes.
And just, you know, moderation. That'll do that for you.
It will.
That'll give you a long life for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanically, how you're doing all of these actions within the village is, going back to the kind of worker displacement, is at the beginning of each round, you lay out different colored cubes in the different sections of the village.
Which are drawn randomly, the colors. Yeah.
Right. And as you pick up a cube, you get to not only take the cube and put it into your supply, but you get to perform an action at that location as well. And The 4 different things that you can collect are skill, persuasiveness, faith, and knowledge. And these are the things that you will then use to kind of further your family within the village.
So is there like a tracker in this game that is counting down? Like I've only seen stuff about my village where there's like a countdown until your guys will die or like the plague happens. Are there things like that happening in this game? Because it sounds like, Steven, you said your people were just living.
Yeah, there are. There are black cubes that
represent the plague.
They represent the plague visiting your farm. There's a little track around your personal player board that has little hourglass symbols on them. And this kind of dictates when your family members will die. So say you're making a cart, you can spend time to actually have a person trained at that location to make carts with time rather than the cubes that you are procuring.
So you can spend time rather than resources to assemble carts, to breed horses, oxen, so on and so forth.
Right.
And so all I had to do to keep all of my people alive is I did everything I could to never take the black plague cubes.
Right.
And I just never used any of my meeples on projects that required actual time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went at least 10 plus rounds, and I was maybe like halfway across the first tracker of time on my little board. And it really actually wasn't even that hard, because you just don't do the things that cost time. Like, it's not... Yeah.
I would say that that's probably an unorthodox strategy in this game.
Yes. No, but everything did it work? Everything I did. Oh, no, I was dead last.
Oh, okay.
We play to have fun. We infuse a lot of narrative into the games. And with something like Village, you almost have to do that because this is a really dry game.
Yes.
This is a really dry
game.
Let's
cut to the chase here.
This is.
I'm not even a fan of this game.
It is a Euro game. This was a long game with 3 players.
Yeah, no, that was the number one thing, actually. Yeah. This game had some cool things about it. I had not yet played a Euro style game with the displacement mechanic that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The taking cubes to perform the action instead of just placing a worker there was very, very different. And then the idea of being able to put that narrative in of like, hey, so you're in the town hall and you're the leader of it. Therefore, you know, you would be like the mayor or whatever. And, you know, you can kind of like add some flavor that way. But as a whole, it was kind of dry. But yeah, the number one thing was, I mean, it took us.
It was over 2 hours.
Yeah, it was like 2.5 hours at least to play this. And that's longer than a game of Scythe takes.
Yeah.
And when you compare the two, both Euro-style games, you know, you mentioned earlier, Seth, why would you play Scythe over something else?
Right.
I mean, the difference between these two is just drastic.
It
like,
is.
Scythe is far superior in my mind. Not that this is a bad game, necessarily. It's fun if you make it fun.
Right.
Which we kind of did.
Right.
But there were several turns where I'm like, wow, this is just...
Right. I mean, it got to the end and we were... purposely picking up black cubes.
No,
just so that
the
we
last
could
few turns, it had been going for so long that I literally grabbed every black cube I could find.
Yes,
which is very gruesome, but
yeah, it's super morbid.
So at the end of mine, you know, I had done this whole game not killing anyone, and so that probably is actually what threw the wrench in us. Because if all three of us were just actively dying, it would have probably taken at least 45 minutes off the game. But it would have ruined my whole thing, man.
I don't know. I think I'm going to stick to my statement and say this game is long for what it is. Now, when it was made, I think the cube displacement, the meeples going into the book, that hadn't really been a thing yet for the most part. And that was fun and it was fresh. But now there are so many, I think, better games that you can occupy your time with than this one, and I think you'll have a better time. That being said, they just released My Village, and none of us have played this yet, but I watched the How to Play online.
Me too.
And yeah, and that actually looks like a game I would enjoy playing. I think they've tightened up a lot of the stuff that slows Village down, and each person gets to be in charge of their own little village rather than being a part of a bigger whole. So I look forward to playing that one.
Yeah.
I just don't know how many times we're going to get Village to the table again in the future.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, I mean, you have a whole list of games, and there are just a lot of games I have above this on that list now. But there is, it's an undeniable fact, though, that the generations concept for the meeples and the filling the book and having your meeples actually die and you have like almost a pseudo family tree looking thing.
Yeah.
That was really cool though.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that on Board Game Geek, this is ranked 93. So it's pretty high up there. And it does say it only takes 60 to 90 minutes of playing time. So while I'm not doubting your story, maybe it would deserve another play.
Well, I have played this game probably 5 or 6 times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And you still don't like it?
Well,
even though you've played it that many times?
I enjoy it, but again, I would prefer to play it with just 2 players. I think there's a little bit more strategy there, and the game doesn't last quite as long.
Okay, that's fair.
Unless you're playing with me.
Wait.
That's right.
It does say on Board Game Geek that it's best with 4 players.
Oh my gosh.
But wouldn't that make it go faster since then more meeples are dying?
Potentially. Yeah, maybe we're going about this the wrong way. We need more people to die. Well, gentlemen, I don't think we have anything left to talk about tonight.
That's definitely true.
Oh, yeah, I know. We've got a full schedule for the next podcast as well, but we have run out of time.
Oh,
so I think we're gonna wrap this one up. Any final thoughts?
Jive turkey.
When I was a little girl, I was afraid of spiders. But now I know, at the moment of the kill, they are alive.
I think we should call it now.
That's my final thought.
Good night.
All right, keep it together, Adam. This is just a normal
No.
Fact about life, okay?
This is... I'm laughing at Steven as much as I'm laughing. He's tearing up over here.
I have my own comment. Best part. Anyways.